Now that Easter's here, happy Easter. You know, I mean, during Holy Week, for example. During Holy Week, people would say, happy Easter. And finally, I just started responding, you know, he's not dead yet. You get an interesting look from folks. They're not quite sure how to take that. But I mean, on Palm Sunday, on Maundy Thursday, I warned us all that we shouldn't rush into Easter. Because too many people rush into Easter, just like too many people rush out of Easter. There are folks still, if I were to walk up now and say happy Easter, it would be just as odd as, well, all sorts of things I could say. And they look at me like, well, Easter already happened. Today is the day we remember that Easter didn't just happen. Easter is happening. So happy Easter. It's funny how that stringy plastic Easter grass is just starting to get swept up, and suddenly it seems like Easter is over for so many folks. But it's not. Because just like the season of Lent before it, Easter is a matter of time, is a matter of growing into things. And trust me, when you really think about what Easter is all about, it takes some time to really think about it and be there with it. The problem is we don't always do that. We don't spend that time getting ready. I mean, think about it. We come to church on Easter morning and the crowd is big and the energy is just palpable and the kids are all hopped up on candy and we offer a greeting back and forth and we sing Christ the Lord is risen today and the choir and people join in the hallelujah chorus and oh, wow. Maybe you go home, you have that meal with family and friends and then... Well, then what? Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. So now what? You know that question, so now what, has been asked since day one. I wonder about those women at the tomb. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Wow, he's not there. So now what? Or we hear it with the disciples. They go back, the women go back, they tell those disciples. The disciples are like, whoa, really? So now what? When we move through the beginnings of the church, people gathering together to become the body of Christ in the world, as the church gathered together, they stand around, they look at each other, and it's right there in our scriptures. They look and they say, well, so now what? It's a question we still ask to this day, and it's so important that we ask it. The Gospel of John tells the story of the disciples in the days following Easter. Their first gathering together is right after Jesus has been raised, and to be honest, I think they're sort of just unpacking the week they just had. I mean, think about it. Your rabbi and teacher went from this triumphant parade to this troublemaker that gets sort of pushed out to the edges. Then he starts talking about his body being broken while you're trying to have dinner. And then suddenly he's got this trial, and then he's on a cross, and then the tomb is empty, and this is all just in the last 7 days. I've had some crazy weeks before, but I can see that perhaps they wanted to get together and just talk through what had happened. And then into that midst, Jesus shows up in that room to be with them. But Thomas, one of the disciples, Thomas wasn't there. And so Jesus has to show up again a few days later for Thomas. I can imagine how awkward that had to be. You know what I mean? Jesus shows up, everyone's like, wow, he came, we saw, and it was nice. And then Thomas is like, I didn't see it. I need Jesus to come back. So Jesus shows up again. And Thomas is all like, sorry, Jesus, I would have come to that first get-together if I'd known you were going to be there. And the rest of the disciples are like, but you weren't coming if it was just us? I see how that is. Doubting Thomas. I doubt the other disciples really wanted to invite him the next time they came. Oh, Jesus isn't going to be here. Thomas doesn't want to join us. But after these two appearances, they're in this intentional community together, this intentional community of believers. Things in our gospel start to wind down a little bit. In fact, chapter 20 in John starts to wrap up the whole good news. These words at the end of chapter 20. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, and they're not written in this book, but these that are written are so that you might come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. I don't know about you, but that to me sounds like the kind of hint you drop when you're trying to get company to leave. Oh, look at the time. I'm sure you have a long drive. Can I get your coat? I mean, our gospel writers in John are sort of just trying to wrap things up. Okay, here it is, and then Right as you're trying to wind things down, we find out it's not done yet. So what do the disciples do? Hear the gospel message this morning from John in the 21st chapter, the words immediately following this attempt to call it a day. After all these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two of the other disciples. Simon Peter says to the group, "I'm going fishing." And they said to him, "We'll go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" And they answered him, "No." And so Jesus said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some." So they cast it. And now they were not able to pull it in because it had so many fish in it. And that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "That's the Lord." And when Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging this net full of fish. While they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you've just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of fish. And there, though there were so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, "Come, have breakfast with me." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and he did so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to his disciples. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, I know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." And Jesus said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he had to say this a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Christ has died. Christ is risen. So now what? Well, now the disciples return to what they know. They go fishing. I love this. All that's happened, they decide to go fishing. This is one of those very human, very relatable Bible moments for me. Because how many of us, when we don't know what else to do, hop right into the middle of our comfort zone? This is what I'm good. This is what I do. This is just my thing. I'm just going to do this because I don't know what else to do. They return to what they know. Though I'm not completely sure why Peter was fishing naked, or why the gospel writers decided to include that line in our scriptures. I mean, this is really settling into your comfort zone. And I can only assume, though, that what it's telling us is that they weren't expecting any kind of company or important life moments. They get to the beach, and Peter's all like, "Jesus, I would have put clothes on if I knew you were coming." And the rest of the disciples are like, "But you didn't want to put them on when it was just us?" They weren't expecting to see Jesus again. Especially since all the other times they were gathered together on purpose to talk about Jesus and to do, you know, holy things. But this time they're just out fishing. Who would expect Jesus to show up while they're fishing? But Jesus even was so unexpected, they didn't even recognize him. So Jesus has to jog their memory. In the beginning of Luke, Jesus actually does the same thing with the disciples. "Hey, throw your net this direction," and they catch. And suddenly you can see, wait a minute. Jesus did this. This is Jesus. The memory starts to click. And then the few others that maybe didn't catch the fish reference, there's Jesus sitting there with the bread, and he breaks it. And he passes it around. They're like, "Didn't we just do this with..." You see the excitement. They're reminded that Christ is now with them again. You know, this meal that they share is very interesting to me because it was already ready when they got to the beach. Sure, Jesus says, "Go grab some fish," but the scripture tells us there was already fish on the fire. A meal was already there. Jesus brought everything because he was ready to sit down over a meal and let the relationship continue. And then, just like the week before, as John tells it, Jesus wanted to share the meal, and then after the meal, show them love and ask them to go out into the world sharing that love through service. We saw this on Monday, Thursday with the Last Supper and the foot washing, and now again on the beach. Let's have breakfast, and now, hey, Peter, go feed my sheep. Experience love and share love. These two go together. Let me remind you one more time. And this is why we get to ask the question, so now what? Instead of having to ask the question, so we're done, right? We're not done. We get to ask, what is next? Because things aren't over. To me, so now what is such a hopeful question because it implies we realize there is more to come. For now, we look for the ways and the places that Jesus will show up. All of us this day and every day are looking for where Jesus will be. And the good news is he's bringing breakfast. But seriously, this story, our scripture this morning, is a wonderful reminder that God's grace comes and meets us right where we are. Not just when we gather together to do holy things, but when we're out living our lives in the middle of our comfort zones, going through the motions we're so used to doing, suddenly in the midst of that, God's grace and love will appear. This is an important moment, because like the disciples, we tend to find our way back to our comfort zones. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Oh, there's laundry to do and shopping, and oh, I got work tomorrow, and suddenly, it's not Easter morning. Suddenly it's a Tuesday. And yet, into that space, Christ appears again. So we need to keep an eye out, and if I may suggest, our clothes on. Where will you be this week when Jesus shows up? Where will you be? Who will you be with? What will you be doing? What mundane, everyday activity will you be in the midst of when you're suddenly reminded that God says yes to who you are and all that you're capable of, and when you remember that nothing can separate you from God's love? What will you be doing when suddenly into your day it just breaks forth and you're reminded of God's love and grace for you and all people? And when that happens, will you jump out of the boat? Because when you do, you will find there waiting for you an invitation to go into the world and love others, tending to the needs of a very broken world. So now what? Feed my sheep, Jesus says. Amen.